own people. There is a popular secular prayer or proverb that says, the son of a praying mother will never be lost. And this seems also to be supported by biblical accounts of how mothers have been instrumental in praying for their children. And indeed, the many testimonies in the Bible and also in church history, even in our recent times, proves that indeed mothers have a role in praying for the children. We remember Samuel of Hannah, and we remember also in the New Testament Timothy, of how his mother Eunice and even the grandmother Lois prayed for him. We also remember in the church history how Monica was continued to pray for her son Augustine, that even in his young age and teenage years, where he was a mischievous guy and was a playboy, through the prayers and the answered prayers from God, brought him into the fold of God and was used mightily in the teaching, preaching, even for the writings of the many things or decree or creeds in the church that was used by God to bring the church into fruition in fulfilling the words of God. And in our very movement, we also cannot forget our founding pastor of the BP movement, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. These are men that were raised up by godly mothers, and through their prayers, they were brought into the fold of God, used by God in the work of and ministry. And this we can give credit to praying mothers. But we have also here in this passage, in this chapter, John chapter 17, a praying Savior. And if the son of a praying mother will never be lost, I'm sure we agree that the saint of a praying Savior will never, never, never be lost. And this is our assurance. One thing that we have to ask ourselves is that, are we his disciples? Are we his own? Are we his own people? Are we part of this them, they, that he mentioned as his own, that he is praying for? Because if we are truly his, this whole chapter talks about us and shows how he cares for us and shows how he prays for us and shows how he really intercedes for us. And if it is the Lord Jesus Christ who prays for us and intercedes for us, he says that if anyone will pray in his name, surely there is an answer from heaven. And now he is praying himself for us. How we are sure and are secured of his very help and his good hand in our lives. That's why when we are bombarded with so many attacks of the enemy, Satan would not like us to continue on laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that he would put in our ways, stumbling blocks, people who might discourage us, some physical infirmities, some spiritual discouragements because of other friends and brethren. This may hamper us, this may hinder us, but we are trusting that God is praying for us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is praying for us. That's why we can remember even when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ thrice. Before that, the Lord Jesus Christ told him, I prayed for you. I am praying for you, Peter, that those Satan would try to seize you and take you away from me. Remember that I have prayed for you. And when we come to times where we are discouraged, times that we are in the crossroads, times when we are having heavy burdens, just remember, Jesus is praying for you and for me. Now let us look at what are his, or the contents of his prayer. In verses 9 to 16, we have this passage that starts with, I pray for them. I beseech thee, O God, and I request thee. I ask thee, and there is a sense of I demand from thee. I am not asking, requesting for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. This high priestly prayer, this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, this is the prayer that we can really call as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer that we recite here in our worship service is actually a disciple's prayer taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But these words here that includes verses 9 to 16 are the words of the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Prayer. And it starts here with beseeching, praying, requesting that the Father will keep through His own name those whom He has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be one as they are. And that's the first thing that we can observe in this prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ prays that the Father will keep. And what is that keeping? Keeping is the idea of watching. Keeping is the idea of guarding, that there be no harm, that there be nothing be lost from the people whom God the Father brought into the very presence of the Son. You keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me. And the purpose of keeping and watching and guarding them is that they may be one as they are, as we are. What is this oneness that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here? First, let us understand that here in verse 10, he describes clearly that the oneness of the Father is here manifested in the having the people to be one in them. All are mine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine. They are yours, they are mine, and I am glorified in them. And these people that glorifies God, we know, and we have to go back to chapter 17, verse 2, that he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, that these people received eternal life. And this gives exaltation to his name. This gives him praise and honor, because these are the fruits of God's working, of the Lord Jesus Christ working here on earth, where he came to live, to die, and to live again for them. And they have this eternal life, meaning the works of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth is not in vain, is not worthless, it is fruitful, and in fact, there are people who are now destined to be in eternity together with them, and these are the people who glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people who glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the very people whom God the Father has chosen at the very beginning, even before the foundation of this world. So we see here that these are of the Father and given to the Son. The Son saved them, bought them through His precious blood. And that's why they are of the Father and they are His. All mine are thine and thine are mine. And this oneness in this people, in this group of believers, is what the Lord Jesus Christ now is seeking after from the Father, that they will be kept in the name of the Father and that they may be united as the Father and the Son are one. I am no more of this world or in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The ecumenical movement used this verse and also in verses 21 and 22 as their basis in the unity of churches around the world. And they use this to promote this unity and diversity, that even in many doctrines, in many teachings, diverse as they are, you have to put them aside and instead having love as the very center of this unity, we should come together as one to promote Christ and to glorify Him. The question that we have to see here in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, was Jesus praying for the ecumenical movement? Was He praying for the unity of the whole Christendom all throughout the world? Or was He praying only for a specific people, group of people? His own disciples, His own children. Of course, for us, we know and we understand that He is talking only of His own people, His own children. And who are these? As we have mentioned, they are those who have received eternal life. They have received the Word of God, and they have believed the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have eternal life. They are the elect. They are the chosen ones. They are the believers. And therefore, Jesus is praying for them. He is not praying for the whole ecumenical movement to be one, because we know that these churches that are partakers and are involved in this current and present ecumenical movement are churches which are not even believers of Christ. They believe the Christ of their own imagination. They are believing in the Christ where they think He is just one who is a great leader, a great provider, one who will change the culture of this world, one who will change the livelihood of people, that they will bring them out from poverty into prosperity. Those who believe that Jesus is just a great teacher, that He will reform and He will reconstruct the culture, and we will have a good and wonderful environment of people who will now be caring for one another, for the needs of one another, not the spiritual but the physical things. This is the thrust of the ecumenical movement. In fact, the ecumenical movement today does not just include the churches within the Christendom. It includes even those movements or those so-called religions of the other persuasion where they believe in other gods, because they think that we are the same and one and are climbing the same mountain. We are just having different ways. We have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ clearly prays only for those who are truly believers of the biblical Jesus, who have truly received eternal life and are keeping His word, following what He has given us in His word. Keep them, protect them, guard them, watch them, Father. And surely the Father here, who is identified here as Holy Father. Why did He mention Holy? He can just say Father, my Father, as He addressed His own Father in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. But He identifies His Father here with the word Holy. And this shows us of the purity, the sanctity of these people whom He has brought from out of darkness into His marvelous light. He had identified these people as those who are of Satan and now are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are rebellious and unbelieving and now they are following and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves, are we part of this group of people? Are we part of these disciples? Can we call ourselves as one of those disciples who truly received eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if we are still negligent in obedience to God's word and still believing in the things of this world and the things of other religion and the superstition of this world and the beliefs of other religions, then we are not part of this group of people. We are not truly of Christ alone. And there are many today who mix Christianity with other beliefs. And they think that if we add the word Christian or the word Christ into it, we can be somehow part of this elect people. Be mindful, my dear brethren and friends. We have to be identified surely in this group of men and women whom the Lord Jesus Christ described here as those who has received eternal life, those whom He has given eternal life, and are assured that we shall be with Him unto eternity. We are thankful that our God is not just giving us this world, created us, and then after that left us. Or our God is not just a Savior who brought us back into our senses, and now that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, He left us and do our own thing. No, He is with us and continually is praying for us. In Romans chapter 8, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And this is our trust and this is our confidence in Him. When we are in trouble, when we are sick, when we have some kind of uneasy discomfort feelings, and we think that, oh, probably this is COVID, we can text and we can message our friends and some of our relatives and Christian brethren to pray for us. last Friday, I think more than half of the prayer requests of our prayer meeting in True Life Church was on praying, asking for help of relatives having COVID with this surge of the Omicron, or keep asking prayer that we be kept safe because one of their household members is sick, or one of their colleagues. And we seek prayer from the church. We seek prayer from our pastor. We seek prayer from our friends. And here we have this truth that our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is praying for us. I'm not saying that we should not ask for our leaders and our friends and our parents or our brothers and sisters to pray for us. But as we ask them, we also trust that even the Lord Jesus Christ knew our concerns, that He is praying for us. And He is not just praying for the things for our physical health, for the things that we need daily. He is surely asking the Father to keep us and to watch us, that we may be one with them. Not just unity among the members of the church, but unity in the Father and in the Son. And then he continues to pray, to ask the Father, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept." The second word "kept" here is the idea of security, preservation. And this is synonymous, of course, with the other word "kept." So this is not just watching and guarding, but there is the idea of preserving. That none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And indeed, from the 12th, we know that the 11 apostles continued on. In the book of Acts, they were there not only to receive the filling of the Spirit upon them, but they continued on to serve God, preach God's word, even giving themselves to die on behalf of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to preach God's word and to tell many about His good news. We see here that when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for them that they may be one, He continued that they should be preserved and that they will continue on to serve. Our preservation is not just for our own prosperity. Our preservation is not just for us to have work. Our preservation is not just to have a length of days on earth. Our preservation is not just to prosper on whatever things we desire on earth. Our preservation is for service. When God prays for us and assures that we are kept and are preserved, it is for the purpose of giving our lives for His glory. It is for the purpose of bringing the souls outside into His church. It is for the purpose of bringing the light to those who are in darkness. So this means that if we are not actually doing these things, we can ask ourselves, is the Lord Jesus Christ praying for my preservation? If I'm just preserved for my own thing, for my own desire, for my own business, for my own work, this is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for me. Yes, it is by His own general providence to all men that we can have this strength and this health, that we can continue on to live on this earth. But there is a specific prayer of the Lord Himself that those who are serving Him will be preserved even until the end. And this preservation does not just talk about that we should be kept away from all the attacks of the enemy and we shall be spared from the persecution. It might be a preservation that God will preserve us even until we shall be martyred, that we will not deny and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that our mouths, though we are facing death, we shall continue on to profess and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's real preservation. That's real keeping. Because many would ask, Lord, please keep us and preserve us. Spare us from the persecution. The saints in the past, while they were facing lions and they were about to be burned at the stake, they were preserved by God. Not that they were spared from those cruel death, but they were preserved from denying Christ. One of the saints in the early church, in the apostolic, or in the next to the apostolic age, apostolic fathers, named Ignatius of Antioch, he was brought to trial for him not submitting to the request of the emperor to offer to the altars and genius. These are representatives of the emperor in those days. And Ignatius believed that doing so is a rejection, a denial of his Savior. And so he was brought into Rome. And along the way, he wrote letters. And one of those letters that he wrote, especially to the Roman Christians, was that he requested them to let them pray for him and not to disturb, not to hinder, not to prevent the emperor to persecute him or to execute him. What was planned against him, that he will be thrown into the Colosseum and be eaten by lions. And he said that I will offer my life as a living bread, a loaf for these lions to chew, that like the Lord Jesus Christ who offered himself, at least I have a part of that great sacrifice of my Savior. He was preserved. Not that he was taken out of that persecution, not that he was taken out from the mouth of lions, but he was preserved, that God has given him courage. That even when he faced the lions, he was still courageous to say, I am of Christ. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. In today's Christianity, we are filled with cowards, Christians who cry when there are a little bit of persecution. We should remember how the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us here, that we are promised of his keeping. And this is in accord to what he is praying in verse 13. And now come I to thee. Though it is not in an imperative mood, this word here that seek after the joy of the believers is a pleading, still beseeching, seeking that these believers, these people who have received eternal life, will have joy fulfilled in themselves. And take note of how he described this joy. It is not the joy of the world. It is not the enjoyment and the entertainment and the pleasures of this world. Jesus says, it is my joy. And if you look back into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, try to look, what are these joys? What are the joys of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was not laughing and dancing and have some parties with the people around him. He was full of suffering. He was a man acquainted with grief. He was always under persecution. Where is the joy of Christ? But this is what he was praying, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Well, we know that his joy is his anticipation of that final moment that he will be crucified. And that crucifixion and the shedding of his blood is the fulfillment of what has been decreed from the beginning to the salvation of those whom God has chosen. This is the joy. The joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is in looking forward to the time that he will suffer on behalf of his own people, that they will be delivered out of the condemnation, out of that eternity of torment, that they will be taken out of that, and that is the greatest joy of our Lord. And for us as Christians, this is also our joy. Our joy is not based on how much we received ampao during the Chinese New Year. It's not on how many relatives we have visited. It's not on how we are promoted or what else we have profited out of our businesses or how we are given awards and rewards in our schools, in our companies. Our joys are not based on these things. The joys that we should have is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that joy? It's the joy of bringing souls into his kingdom. It is the joy of bringing people into the light. It is the joy of knowing that there are those who will come to be saved. The joy of this world is temporary. The joy of this world is just a short time. The pleasures of this world is not for eternity. The things that we experience here on earth, even the short time of joys and pleasures, they will not last forever. But the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is forever and ever. It is everlasting. That's why he wants us to have this joy. And many Christians today would now engage in some pleasures, entertainment, and that's why in many churches today, the introduction of this contemporary worship, contemporary music, and other means in order to please the flesh, that, you know, you will be at least alive. Sometimes preachers in Bible Presbyterian churches is also, you know, attempted to do this. Sometimes I told the students in FEBC, you appear as too, you know, mechanical. I mean, we don't want you to stand up and dance and do whatever things that will show that you are alive and kicking, but at least when you sing, it will show how you express the words that you are singing. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that... Sometimes, what is that joy? What is that joy? And the world, of course, the churches, trying to inject the ideas of men in order to energize the people, brought in this contemporary music and worship so that people may seem to be alive and have the joy of Christ. But this is not the joy of Christ. The joy that Christ here describes, again, we go back to the basics that he described in the start of this prayer. It is the glory that he has in those who receive eternal life. That is the joy of Christ. My joy. It is not based on what we have on this earth. is not based on the abundance of the things that we own. It is not the things that is not based on what we possess. It is based on how we are used by God to bring others to Him. And when you have truly experienced this joy, let me use this word, it's an addictive joy. I say addictive because when you, if you've tried one person or bringing one person to know Christ, and you kneel down and prayed with him or with her, and surely you know that he changed or she changed their life and repented of the sins that he has done in the past, you're going to stop there and say, Lord, that is enough. I think I can go back to the world. I have brought one soul that is a sure ticket for me that I am welcomed and I will receive a crown in heaven. It is addictive because the more that you will bring a soul into God's kingdom, it will again ignite another desire to bring others and to let others know of Christ. That is the keeping that He wants us. That's the preserving and that's the joy that He wants us to have. This joy that of bringing souls will be fulfilled in us. And I pray you experience this joy. If you have not experienced this joy, you miss what the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. This joy of bringing a soul to Christ. This is joy that we cannot even compare with the joy of the things in this world. Yes, we enjoy some things. I'm not saying that we don't enjoy the blessings of God, eating durian. Well, that is a joy. I also enjoy that kind of blessings from the Lord. But there is a different joy which the Lord Jesus described here. My joy. My joy fulfilled in themselves. And that's the joy of bringing a lost soul to Christ. And if you have experienced this, you know what it feels. You know how great a joy you have. Not that you are proud and you think, well, I am now a bona fide Christian because I brought a soul to Christ. No, it's just looking back to how you have experienced also in the past when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those joys will come flashing back in your mind that you understand this is what he feels. This is what he is feeling now. What I have felt before also when I came to know Christ. I pray we have this joy. Jesus praying for us that we may have this joy. And his prayer will surely not be in vain. It will be fulfilled in his children. In his own people. Because he's praying for his own disciples. His disciples. His own people. And not only that he prays that we shall be kept as one, pure, sanctified with the Father and the Son, and that we experience the joy of the Son in our lives. That is already far greater blessings that we have, to be kept, secured, and to have joy. That is all what we want, right? That is all what we desire in life, to be kept safe, and to have joy. But more than that, the Lord Jesus also prays here. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That persecution, that hatred will come. That hostility will come against Christians. Surely it will. You just have to wait a few years here in Singapore. We shall have it. that persecution will come to all truly Bible-believing Christians who will stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. How we pray that, Lord, when that will come, take me up. How we pray that when persecution comes, Lord, let there be rapture. How we pray that when there is persecution here in Singapore, you pray, Lord, bring me to another island where only Christians are living. No persecution. That's our prayer. That's probably my prayer also. Who wants to be under persecution? Who wants to suffer? But the Lord Jesus prays that we will not be taken out of this hatred. We will not be taken out of this persecution. We will not be taken out of this hostility. But that we will be kept from the evil. That we shall be guarded. Again, the same word as keep there in the first point that we have. But here the sense now is we shall be watched, be guarded, that we will remain in Him. Though how much persecution, how greater evil they will attack us, we will remain steadfast in the work of the Lord. Just as we have heard of the testimony of Ignatius. Because the Lord is not glorified in taking the thorns out of our flesh, as Paul prayed. He is glorified when a person receives the grace of God, enduring even with a thorn in the flesh. Do we see this in our lives? Of course, we want to be healed with our infirmities. We want to be spared from persecution. We want to be spared from the hostilities and hatred of people. We want to be kept away from all the damaging effect of these bad mouths of people that are trying to stab us. We want to be spared out of these things. But God says, I will not keep you out from them. You will be still in the midst of them. But I am praying that you will maintain your testimony as a Christian. That even though how much pressure you will have, you will continue on enduring. And that's where Christ is most glorified. It is not in our entertainment and pleasure that Jesus is most glorified. It is in our endurance to go through, even in the midst of great difficulties and hardships in life, that we can still say, I am of Christ and I'm ready to be offered for the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days of great persecution, in the early days of the church, instead of churches having lesser or fewer and fewer people coming in, instead of the number of Christians brought into the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in His word, instead of getting fewer and fewer believers, the more that there was an exponential increase in number of the believers. Indeed, it is true that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. They increased because of the persecution. They increased because of the difficulties of life that they were facing. The numbers increased, kept on increasing. And they were loyal and devoted to Christ. Even though they were prevented to worship, they use catacombs and other places, secret places that they have to meet. And even though they cannot bring their own Bibles, they were trying to hide as little as some notes or some writings of God's word, or they tried to memorize it in order to share it to others. That's how they kept their faith in the midst of the persecution. It was not that the Lord Jesus Christ, God, left them. No, He was there to keep them from evil. How can we compare ourselves with those believers in the past? And if we try to look at their lives, we are nothing but ants compared to those giants. We're just grasshoppers compared to those mighty Christians in the past. And how we should emulate them in their devotion, in their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christianity today is so weak, so sissy, just like the trend of the world that is now on LGBT. We don't have the courage to stand for the sake of the brethren. We don't have the courage to speak up on behalf of Christ. And that's why we have to pray, Lord, help me, that I may, in the midst of these threatenings, I can still open my mouth to say I am of Christ. When I read biographies like that of Ignatius, like that of Polycarp, when even though they were there to be burned at the stake and was asked to recant, he says, for 84 years the Lord Jesus Christ has been faithful to me. How can I deny my Lord and my Savior who saved me? I ask myself, Lord, please, I don't know if I can still say the words like them in the midst of a gun over my head. Can I still say, I am of Christ? Am I really convinced? Am I convinced that I have eternal life? Even though at that very moment that bullet will plunge into my head. Will I be like a saint like Cyprian? Where the centurion was already there and asked if you are to recant or not. And he says, no, I am of Christ. And his head was gone. Can I still say? This is a question also for myself. Well, I pray that the Lord will not allow me to go through such kind of experience, but how we should ask ourselves, am I truly convinced of that eternal life? Because if we have truly received that life eternal, as is described here in verse 2, whatever threats, whatever lions, whatever sword, whatever stake there for you to be burned, you are not scared. We are not scared. We are not fearful. And that's also a question for myself. And we can only have that strength when we continue to be in the Word of God. As He described here in verse 14, I have given them Thy Word. It is through the promises of God that we are kept reminded of who He is. It is through the preaching of God's Word that we are reminded how He is with us. It is through the study of God's Word that we are encouraged to continue and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through God's Word. And I pray we shall be united. We can be as one. We can have the joy of Christ in us when we continue to be in the Word of God. When we depart from the Word of God, when we keep out the Bible from us, we are kept out also of that safekeeping of the Lord. We will do whatever things we want. We should keep ourselves in the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us that we shall be one as they are, and we will experience the joy of His, and we shall be kept from the evil. That whatever difficulties and hardships in life, we are able to endure and go through because He keeps us from this evil, these disasters, these calamities. We are not of the world, even as the Lord Jesus Christ is not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in this difficult state, a place where it is full of darkness, is full of wretchedness, is full of immoralities, is full of corruption, is full of lies. That even in those people whom we trusted as those who are in the leadership, they are still in this victims or victims of lies and falsifications. And we are not spared of these things. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we go through all these dangers, these evil things that would cause us to be discouraged, to turn away from Him. We should be strengthened in the Lord. And be assured that He is praying for us. Be assured that He is with us in prayer. And if He is praying for us, how can we not also pray for ourselves and for one another? How can we not intercede for one another? How can we not pray for the brethren in the church? How can we not attend our prayer meetings? And how can we not attend with the fellowship meetings where we encourage one another to be strengthened and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for us. And I pray that we are also intercessors and prayer warriors for our own brethren. We don't just ask for some gossips for the people around. We ask for their concerns and sincerely come before God to pray for them. Here we are just around 40. We can easily remember the names. Especially for preachers who praise here, at least you can memorize in your prayer there as you go on, and you know who are sitting there, and then coming back here, at least you know who are to pray for. For leaders, and even for us. Even if you are the back, you know who are those in front, and you can pray for them. You know them. You bring them before the altar of God daily. We wish daily. Sometimes we can skip, but we should remember them. But the Lord Jesus Christ is continuously praying for us. And this is our assurance that He will keep us united in Him, and He will allow us to experience that joy that is not of the world, but joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He will keep us even in the midst of this evil, wicked world. Be assured of the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. And that's why we are secured to see Him. His preservation is truly real. It shall be fulfilled because He is praying for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,